Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Oh, yes, those bells are ringing, ching-ching-a-ling-a-ling-ding. La-la-la-la-la-la, lovely weather with you.
I just need some hand cream. Hello.
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 How are you?
Got some hand cream.
Oof. Do I want some?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll have a bit.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Molly Green and Darren Rudge.
Alan, it's Molly and Darren.
Hello, Molly and Darren.
Hello.
How are you?
You recognise us?
I do.
Yeah, sure you do.
The Happy Garden.
Alright, hello you and welcome to the Happy Garden Podcast. A very warm welcome on, well, a week where the weather has certainly changed. -3 the other morning when I got up. Even the laurel bush in the garden had fainted. Gone all droopy in protest at the temperatures, no doubt. So it's time to get organised in the garden for winter, and here's the man who can tell us how.
Hello!
It's Darren Rudge!
Hello!
Hi, Dazzler. How you doing?
I'm all right. It's a bit chilly, isn't it?
Well, I thought about you in the week because, yeah, I'm all right. I'm in. A couple of times I thought, oh, I wonder if Darren's doing his windmill job or some other like, and you've been outside working in this.
Yeah, well, I have been outside. And it's all right, actually, when you get out there.
Well, as I say, the weather definitely changed. We're going to be talking about... we must do Marcus's question a little bit later on about mouldy greenhouses. I know you're going to be covering that later on. We've got lots of questions. Anything you want to ask Darren, please do pick his brain. It's thehappygardenpodcast@gmail.com. We'll be getting through some of your questions today. It being the 1st of December, Darren, as this is being released, we've got Molly and Darren's Christmas cracker.
Yeah, we can officially say Merry Christmas.
Yay! To one and all. What are you going to be doing? Are you making something today?
Yes. Well, I've got bath bombs.
Oh.
Horticultural bath bombs for you to make yourself.
Horticultural bath bombs. You don't get this anywhere else.
No, you don't. No. Right.
I've never seen Monty making a horticultural bath bomb.
Well, things you can find in your garden that you can make into a bath bomb. Got gardening jokes for the week?
Oh, I've got a couple for you as well.
You're going to do well to beat these this week.
I've got a good one for you in a minute.
And I've got a money-saving tip because it's time, perhaps, to store those tools away for the winter.
Jobs for the week ahead too.
Yeah. As always, definitely. Can't rest on your laurels.
And also, as we are now in December on today's podcast, no denying it, there are Christmas deniers listening. You can't anymore. Christmas is around the corner. Lots of you are going to be getting your trees up and deciding whether to go real or whether to go fake. And here's a suggestion. How about hiring a real Christmas tree? There's no hassle, there's no commitment. It can be delivered to your door, it can be picked up post-Christmas. You think that sounds good? We're going to be finding out all about renting a Christmas tree on today's pod.
All
all of this and more still to come on
The Happy Garden
with Molly Green and Darren Rudge.
Now, yeah, you said you got your jokes coming up. Do you want one from me to start?
Go on, then. Go on.
Darren, this is the story of how the angel went to the top of the Christmas tree.
Okay.
So Santa was having a terrible day, Darren, and the toy factory was bust. The elves were not pulling their weight, and Mrs. Claus in nag, nag, nag. So he was having to manually make toys out of wood. And he was just over Christmas. He was just had enough already. And he was hanging on to the last shred of his sanity when he hit his thumb with a hammer. He hit the roof. Just at that moment, an angel appeared at his door and she was holding a Christmas tree. And she said, Santa, where shall I put this? And that is how... That's how the angel is always on the top of a Christmas tree. Good. Ooh. The way I tell them, yeah. Ooh. 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 Right, shall we start the Happy Garden podcast with a few jobs for the week ahead, Darren?
Oh, I say, you can tell it's getting close to Christmas. Darren's got his festive music out for the Happy Garden podcast jobs of the week. Go on, Darren, tell us what to do.
Go on, Darren. I was half hoping that that jingle would say Darren's got his festive baubles out for the
it's
Christmas.
It's too cold for that.
It is this week. Go ahead.
Right. Have a think about your vegetables and herbs, folks. Overgrown herb plants can be cut back right now or divided and replanted, and you can have more herbs that way, can't you? Fruit tree pruning can be carried out, except for plums and cherries. Remember, they don't like to be pruned at this time of year because they suffer from silver leaf disease, which will basically decimate your plums and cherries. Fruit trees and bushes can also be planted at this time as long as the soil is not too wet. So if it's too wet, don't get planting them. Compost heaps can be dug out and compost spread across your vegetable plots without digging in. Just leave it on the surface now, folks. Remember, the new best practice is to let those wriggly worms come to the surface and basically pull it into the soil, and all of the beasties and bugs that are in your soil will assimilate it for you.
Perfect. Thank you, Darren. Actually, you just referenced your no-dig piece from last week. We have had a huge response on that on the email.
Okay. Yeah? Great. Good.
Yeah. I've got a question, actually, about somebody wanting to find out about putting beds to sleep across winter with the same sort of ethos as no-dig, as in let nature do itself. So will you do a little bit later on sort of how to put things to sleep?
Yeah. Okay. Definitely.
Great, we'll do that a little bit later on. Anything you want Darren for, it is thehappygardenpodcast@gmail.com, thehappygardenpodcast@gmail.com, or, of course, we have the Facebook page, The Happy Garden Podcast. Do you know the lyrics to Oh Christmas Tree?
Oh Christmas Tree,
oh Christmas Tree, how beautiful are your branches. Is that right?
Yeah. Well, I think so. I don't know.
I don't know either. But talking Christmas trees, Darren, Joe, 7 million trees end up in landfill every year, which is staggering. And when they do rot, they emit huge quantities of greenhouse gases. And according to the Carbon Trust, the carbon footprint of a 2-metre-tall real Christmas tree is equivalent to 16 kilograms of CO2. That's if it ends up in landfill, which is 100,000 tonnes of greenhouse gases from the 7 million trees that end up languishing in landfills every year. And Dazzler, you know me of old, and I do say, not everybody holds my opinion, each to their own. But mine is, I do feel really sorry for Christmas trees. And I was at an event the other night, and there was hundreds for sale, all chopped up, all in nets. And I know they're a crop, but I do feel sorry for them. 2 or 3 weeks looked at in the living room, and then they go in the bin or chipped or whatever. You've seen my Christmas tree that I planted 20 years ago, which I adore.
Yeah.
I'd be mortified if someone cut that down and then threw it away.
And that's how Christmas trees should be looked after, isn't it?
Mm.
You know, be planted. So if you can do, plant one, folks. Don't buy them as a stump. You know.
Stump.
Well, that's it. It's just a stump, isn't it?
Yeah. Do you know, I've had quite a busy morning before I dulled you to record the podcast, and I've just been to, darling, I went to Waitrose, and there was, darling, and just outside I was with my mate, and it was all I could do to stop her putting me through the Christmas tree netting machine. There was nobody looking. You know those big round things with a net on one side? I was going to get her to push me through.
Is this a protest?
No, not
protest in Waitrose. I can see the headlines now. Molly Green protesting against Christmas trees.
No, it wasn't anything to do with that. I just thought it looked fun. Anyway, look, if you don't want plastic and you don't want the hassle of looking after a real tree, how's this for an alternative? How about hiring a living tree for the festive season? Apparently you can even have the same tree every year, which we'll find out about. Now, I had a chat with Alistair Lucking, who is the joint owner of the business, loveachristmastree.co.uk, and asked him just how long this business has been going.
We started this, setting up the Christmas tree business in 2013, when we started to grow the trees. Mm. And then in 2015... I had an epiphany moment whilst on holiday with our two sons to actually rent Christmas trees.
Oh, tell me more about the epiphany moment. Where were you? By the pool or?
Yeah, both our boys live in America and I've got this terrible hang-up that when I'm on holiday, I start thinking about business ideas. I'd already retired, but the legacy is still there. And I woke up from the sun lounge and said, we're going to rent the Christmas trees. And the boys looked at me and said, Dad, who do you know that rents Christmas trees? I says, nobody. He says, yeah, it's perfect. Started.
Genius on a sun lounger. Well, you were right. You had the forethought because, gosh, sustainability, environmental awareness, it's at the forefront of everybody's minds these days. So you were sort of forward thinking. I bet you've got or have had a great reaction to this epiphany.
Oh, it's been absolutely amazing. From when we started off, we started with friends and family, and then we managed to get a little bit of publicity locally in Leicester, and it's just grown from there. And we've had people from all over the world contacting us just to see how we do it, how we set it up, and we don't mind sharing with anybody what we want to try and do. It makes sense, common sense, really, to actually do what we're doing. We didn't want to grow trees and after 10 years then just cut them up and send them away. So it's just a natural progression for us to actually go into potted trees. We've never done cut trees. And it was just a hobby for me when I retired, something to do. And now, when we started, there were just three of us in the UK. That went down to two in 2017, something like that. And we're now up to 12 people that are doing renting trees. The more, the merrier. It's fantastic.
So, Alistair, how does this logistically work then? If someone were to come to your website, loveachristmastree.co.uk, yes. What happens then? What's the process your end?
Okay, so they would actually select what kind of tree. Do they want to rent it or do they want to buy it? We give them the option of both. And these are all container-grown trees that are grown in on the farm here in Kirkby Mallory. Then they would select what size of tree they actually want for their property. So that can be anything from a 2'6". And we give them names. We give them the names Cupid, Prancer, Blitzen, Donner, and Rudolph is the giant 7-foot tree that we actually do. And then they will select what day they want it delivering on. And then we work out the most socially economical way to actually deliver and collect that tree for them around a given area.
And how long will people have trees? I see that you go and collect them afterwards as well. What's the sort of time period someone might have a tree, to hire a tree over the Christmas period?
If you've actually, there's two main kinds of trees, really. There is the fir and there's the spruce. The spruce doesn't, it really can only last for about 3 weeks indoors, even if it's got a plant pot on it. It doesn't, it's typically known for dropping needles, whereas we only use Nordman fir. But we found that 3 to 4 weeks is adequate for those. We don't get any unnatural things happen to them when they come back. We give people instructions how to look after them when we drop the trees off. We put a plastic truck underneath it so they can water it. And obviously what we are keen on is they sing and dance around it, just as we do in the field occasionally.
Oh, do you?
but only occasionally.
Oh, I have a great image in my mind. There is an element of trust, isn't there, Alistair, that your prized trees are going somewhere for 3 or 4 weeks. An element of trust that the person, the family, are going to look after them and water them because, you know, you're going to want that back to reuse next year.
Correct. And we don't, unlike some, we don't actually charge people a deposit. We believe that the best way to do that is to educate them up front. So either on our website or when we deliver them or when we talk to them, we're always telling them how to look after it. If you can look after a house plant, you can actually look after one of our Christmas trees.
Do you ever get families coming back for the same tree?
We do. It's increasing year on year. And that, again, is a development. When we first started, we thought, what a great idea to replant the trees again, let them have the same tree. So therefore, people can have the tree back for 4 or 5 years until it gets to a height where we say, do you know what, we think we're going to have to retire it. And we're kind of unusual because we've actually got an area on our farm where we retire our trees.
Oh, Alistair.
We put them back in the field, we let them grow. And we're of an age where it really doesn't matter to us. We'll just let them grow and live out their life there.
Do you sing and dance around the retired field as well?
Well, only at weekends. It gets us a bad breath otherwise.
I love the sound of your place. I do see on your on your website, I mean, you must be ever so busy this year, so you're not getting new customers for delivery. I assume that's because you're so popular, but people can still come and collect?
They can. We've had to restrict that. Obviously, we only want to visit one area once. We've worked out which is the most economical way and the socially responsible way to actually do that.
Mm.
So we're saying, yes, you can come. We might be able to pick up from you if you actually come and collect them. We might be able to pick up, because then once we know between Christmas and New Year how many trees we've actually got, we can probably work that in. But we don't want to drop them off, because there are some areas that we're already, the van is actually full to actually deliver to them, so we can't do that.
Yeah, OK. I haven't asked you about cost yet, Alistair. What sort of price are we talking to hire a tree from you?
Sure. So a small tree like a Cupid will be £25 and a Rudolph will be £70. And that actually involves looking after the tree. And then obviously if you have the same tree the next year and you have the same size, we don't increase the cost. So even though the tree actually grows, then they'll still have the same cost year on year.
Little loyalty bonus. That price is not bad, because that's similar to just buying a tree. And then, you've got the delivery, you've got the looking after and everything on top of that. So
it's
good
actually
price.
Cheaper. So it's about 75 to 80% of the cost of actually buying a tree. And obviously, therefore, the person hasn't got the risk, or if they haven't got the skills and competence to actually grow the tree, we will take that responsibility as part of our duty to actually look after the tree for them.
So finally, your website then, Alistair, for people to come and have a look at you.
Yes, it's www.loveachristmastree.co.uk.
Thank you so much for your time. Merry Christmas to everyone your end.
And to you and to all your listeners. Thank you very much.
So what do you think about hiring a tree, Darren?
Well, it's great, isn't it? I mean, you can go online, pick the tree that you want, and then keep it year in, year out, and you can watch that tree grow. I think that's an absolutely fabulous idea. There are some companies out there that decorate as well, so they bring you a fully decorated tree. But what is really, really lovely about what they are doing is retiring them after 10 years.
I know, so, you know, dancing around them, having a bit of a sing-song and giving them a good send-off.
Yeah, and so they will live a long and happy life.
Yeah.
It's fantastic, isn't it?
It is.
It saves all of the waste, doesn't it? You give them the tree back when you're finished with it. I think it's a fabulous idea. Ultimately sustainable, apart from the delivery method, of course, which will be a truck.
Well, he did say they're trying to sort of offset that, and they're trying to make sure that their delivery rounds are as thought out, planned and responsible as they can be.
But actually, you know, the long-term plans of these trees would mitigate and offset any sort of carbon footprint that actually causes by the fact that they're just going to keep the trees. It's fabulous. What a wonderful idea. I think it's brilliant. I really do.
Well, Dazzler, for next week's podcast, for people who have, and as I say, each to their own, we're not preaching here on the Happy Garden podcast at all. We're just giving you sort of alternatives. For those that have bought a stump, Darren's word, not mine, stump. If you bought a stump, do you want to do a little piece next week, Darren, on Christmas tree stump care?
Yeah, will do. Yeah.
And try not to sound judgmental.
Alcohol-based.
Oh, yes.
It's alcohol-based, as all my advice is at this time of year.
Okay, so if you do have one, you've bought one from a garden centre supermarket, they seem to be absolutely everywhere, then advice next Friday at noon on the podcast.
I've just jotted that down.
Good. Have you still got your pen?
Yeah.
Can you jot down for next week as well, poinsettia care?
Oh, yes. Must definitely do that. Poinsettia care. Do we want buying instructions and care?
Yes.
Okay.
Can you do a poinsettia special?
I'll do a poinsettia slot.
Do you know, I went to Lidl in the week and there's... No, Darren, whether or not it was just the Lidl I went into, I'm not sure. But their poinsettias were well inside the door on an aisle, which was very commendable.
Well, I went into Sainsbury's.
Yes.
Being as we're naming and shaming.
Oh, are you shaming? Are you Sainsbury's shaming?
Yeah.
Go on.
They got them indoors, but by the open and closing doors.
No.
I didn't make a scene,
but
I did point out to the lady that was watering them that she was watering dead plants.
Oh, well done. The thing is, it wouldn't have been her fault. You need to ask for the manager.
And she turned around and just stared at me.
Did she give it Paddington Bear hard stare? Now, we're going to be doing Darren's money-saving tips next on how to store your tools for the winter months ahead. Save you buying them again next spring. After Darren, a question from Ben. Molly, Darren, can you help me with a problem? My neighbour's ash tree is huge and there are many large branches overhanging a portion of my garden. During the summer months, I can cope, even though it does block out a lot of light to a corner of my garden, so I have to plant accordingly. It's this time of year when I have the biggest problem, though. Every morning there's a thick carpet of leaves over my lawn and my flower beds. The older I get, the more I resent having to clear up their leaves. I don't have much to do with the neighbours. They aren't very approachable. Darren, is there a law about overhanging branches? Loving the podcast, and thank you in advance for your help. And that is Mark.
Right, Mark. Well, yes, there is a law. And anything that overhangs your property, you can potentially have removed. But, and there is a but, don't just have a tree surgeon in and have the limbs lopped off. Sometimes these things are not realised by your neighbour. So I would always advise that in the very, very first instance to just tap on the door and make them aware of the problem. So that's the first thing I would really, really say is before you have any work done, make them aware of the problem and then take it from there. And then if there are any issues moving forwards, then your legal right is that anything that is causing you a problem or overhanging your property, yes, you can have removed. Now, the second thing to be aware of is that tree protected? So if there's a tree preservation order on that tree, which you'll need to check, again, you just can't go in and lop off limbs. But you can talk to your local council, their tree officer, and have advice from them. And it's free. You can have the tree officer come along and just look at the tree and offer advice. You can do that anyway, just to give you moral support, if you like. But I would say, Mark, in the very, very, very first instance, and I know you said you don't have a lot to do with your neighbour, but just knock on the door and just ask them if they know that it's causing you a problem and that you'd like to have the tree trimmed back. Because it is their tree, it's their responsibility, and they should really be paying for any work that's done on the tree, not yourself. So that's the third thing to bear in mind. Obviously, if you get a tree surgeon in, they'll want paying and you'll pay for that unless your neighbour agrees that the work needs to be done. I hope that helps, Mark. And keep in touch. Let me know how it goes. OK, there you go, Molls.
Such a difficult one. Historically, over years, you and I have had questions about neighbours, ivy, clematis, overhanging branches. You're absolutely right, Darren. That is the first step. You mentioned, though, legally he could go up without consultation and lop off the bits on his side. I wouldn't advise it without knocking, but he could.
Yeah, he could. I mean, legally, anything that's overhanging his property he can have removed. And then he would need to hand that back. That's what the law states.
Hand it or throw it?
Well, whatever. But, you know, we would need to, because it's not his property,
yeah.
He needs to return it. It's like windfalls on people's property with apples and things like that. Legally, it's their property. You can't really collect it and make an apple pie unless you've got their approval to do so. So what you should do, really, is collect it in a bucket or in a bag and give it back to them.
But no one's going to do that, are they?
Nobody is going to do that. But when it comes to a legal standing, then you can go get caught out by the law. And as I advised, I would literally go around and
knock
tap on the
first,
door.
Yeah,
and see if you can strike up a conversation. A lot of this is not people not being belligerent or not caring. They just don't know or just don't realise that it's causing a problem. It's the same with a lot of light issues as well. So quite often you can talk it through and you can come up with some sort of solution as to what needs to be done.
Well, Mark seems like he's very compromising anyway. If he's planting accordingly for the summer months, if he, you know, part of his garden's in shade because of their tree, he's actually been quite generous having not mentioned it already.
Well, the other thing he could suggest rather than removing the limb is to have the tree crown thinned. So have a tree surgeon in that basically takes branches out of the crown of the tree, and you'd be surprised how much light that lets in. And you normally have that done every 7 to 10 years so that you can open up the light and it doesn't really spoil the shape of the tree or have any detrimental effect on the tree. So you can crown thin and crown lift, which is removing lower branches to let more light in. So there are a number of options, and just take advice really from a really decent tree surgeon or your local authority tree officer.
I do sympathise with the leaf clear-up. We've all got, I say a problem, I mean, it's only part of nature's cycle, isn't it? But we've had strong winds, we've had a lot of rain, we've had cold this week. The leaves are absolutely everywhere. We've had to blow sort of every day. What really irritates me, Darren, is they get behind all the pots outside the back garden. And if you don't clear them, if you're not on top of them, obviously they turn to soil ever so quickly. That's where the weeds set in. And so, I mean, this time of year, we adore the colour. We adore the trees. It's part of the life cycle. It's just something you've got to keep on top of with the leaves, isn't it?
Well, you've got a lot of pots as well.
We do.
Yeah, but we've had a decent frost now. That's normally what brings the leaves down. So we're nearly at the end of it, aren't we? And use them and utilise them. Make leaf mould, folks, because it's wonderful. It's nature's gift to us. That is an ecosystem that we can create ourselves. That's what happens in forests and woodlands and things. Nobody clears up the leaves there, do they? Use and utilise them. Mulch them on your beds. Why not? Put them down. Instead of, you know, raking them up, putting them in the compost heap, put them on your beds and borders. Talking about, you know, putting things to sleep, that's one way you can put your beds and borders to sleep. Mulch with leaves. That'll be fine. Fantastic stuff.
You're listening to the Happy Garden Podcast with Molly Green and Darren Roach.
Yes. Time now for a few adverts, but don't forget, you can just flick through them, and we'll see you on the other side.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com. One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Darren, talking about autumn, hang on.
It's Mummy's Mouse Update!
Go on, guess how many mice I've caught now, humanely.
45.
41.
41! Oh, wow, what a brilliant guess. 41.
It's Mummy's Mouse Update!
Sorry, I don't know why that's just played again. Don't tell my husband, and God forbid he ever listens to this podcast. He thinks I've caught 9, and he's a bit annoyed with that count. 41.
Have you marked them in any way? Are you sure they're not the same mice?
Do you know, on the Facebook page, the Happy Garden podcast on Facebook, several people have said, well, you've caught the same mouse 41 times.
It's just coming back.
The consensus is it will home. So I'm thinking of some sort of non-chemical Tipex type adhesive.
I'd put a collar on it. With a little bell.
Dear me. I take them probably 300 yards away from the house. I'm thinking that's fine. They're near a woodshed.
Right.
So I'm thinking they'll live in there. But it was so cold the other morning, I felt awful putting them out.
But you let him out, you know.
Who?
And he's just...
My husband.
The mice.
Oh, the mice,
no,
sorry.
Your husband, if you like. You let him out, you know, and he looks at you all sorryful.
Wait until your
back's turned and then straight back home.
He's probably hanging on to me coattails all the way back. It's so cute. By the way, sunflower seeds, and I also had a very good tip of a mashed up Mars bar. That seems to entice them into the humane traps. So 41, God forbid, my husband hears this.
When we used to catch them in the glass houses when I had my very first job.
Where was that?
That was in Wolverhampton, at a college in Wolverhampton.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we went big glass houses. Mm. And I used to use chicken tikka masala sandwiches.
Did you? Was that work for you?
Yeah. Definitely, yeah.
Excellent. Darren, I'm going to do a massive name
what?
Drop before we...
I wonder what you were going to say then.
I know you did.
Get it out. Get it out.
No, I'm fine. Before we do
better out than in.
Before we do your money saving, I'm going to do a massive name drop. Now, you're going to like this. Not a lot.
Go on, then.
I spoke to Pete Waterman in the week.
Oh.
Your friend and mine.
Yeah.
Now, he was down at the NEC for the Worley Model Railway Exhibition. He's the president. You know he loves his...
He likes his trains.
Are you watching the Channel 4 series?
I am.
Little Trains, Big Names.
Yeah.
Francis Rossi, James May, Eddie Izzard. Yeah, it's absolutely fabulous. All these people that are into model trains. Anyway, so I had a chat with him in the week and would you believe? Well, you would believe because he loves us. Hang on. That makes me sound like a right... Okay, hang on. Would you believe that Pete would like to come on? He asked me, can he come on the podcast next
year? Really?
He's very busy at the moment because he's got, I should be so lucky, he's got the musical playing at the moment, touring. As I said, he's got the model trains. He's got all sorts of bits and bobs. But he said in the new year, he would love to come on the Happy Garden podcast.
Great stuff. Mm. That's brilliant. Hello. That's brilliant news. I haven't spoken to him for a while.
He's quite the gardener. I mean, I know he has a gardener, but he's very...
he likes plants.
He's still very interested.
Let's put it like that.
Yeah, yeah. So look forward to...
We had a very technical conversation once about his rhododendrons.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we did, yes.
Well, we haven't done any gardening with Pete for a while, so that's something to look forward to in the new year.
Molly and Darren.
Do you know who we were? Dazzler, let's do some money-saving tips.
Now, live on the Happy Garden podcast, it's time for
Darren's money-saving tips.
Well, yes. Right, what are we doing this week?
Well, it's probably time to be thinking about putting your tools away and giving them a rest for the winter to come. Although we don't normally get a winter like we used to. Like I remember when I were a lad. So, but if you are putting your tools away for winter, you need to clean them. Now, there's a really, really quick trick. If you haven't got stainless steel things, which obviously you don't need to clean off all the detritus on your tools, on your spades and your forks, using a wire brush, and then de-rust them by soaking them in vinegar overnight. So get yourself a little bucket, put some vinegar in there, and soak your tools overnight. Once they've had a 24-hour period, really, of soaking, then wipe them off and give them a little spray over with WD-40 and then hang them up on the wall, ready for the spring to come. And there's a really, really quick money-saving tip. Basically, clean your tools, ready for winter, using vinegar and a little bit of WD-40.
Oh, I'll shove one in here as well, Darren. I'm so uncouth, aren't I? Let me shove one in. Taking off your hose connectors for the winter.
Oh, yes.
I can't tell you how many of ours have split. And we were -3 in the week.
Yeah. And turning off that water supply on the tap.
Yeah, definitely worth it so it doesn't
otherwise.
Freeze.
I like this music.
It's good, isn't it? I was just about to fade it out, but now you say that, let's listen to it a bit more. Shelve it, shelve it. Big fish, little fish, cardboard box. All right, that'll do. I wanted to tell you, Darren, which I almost forgot. You know, I get the insights of who's listening to our podcast around the earth.
Yes.
You'll be very pleased to hear we've had a surge in listeners in South Africa.
Really?
Cape Town, of all places.
Cape Town.
12 people listened to us last week. I know. Who'd have thought? Jamaica. That's a new one this week as well. Jamaica.
Well.
Nah, she wanted to.
No, she went to Varana.
Jakarta.
You got there before me,
Jakarta,
didn't you?
Jakarta. No, she walked. She walked. Can't think of any more. It's just Jamaica and Jakarta, isn't it? Anyway. And also, Vietnam, we're still big there. We're still big in Vietnam.
Okay.
Ho Chi Minh City. Okay. Hang on, there was a new one this week. Here we are, Egypt. 33 downloads in... Hang on.
What? In Egypt?
Zagazig.
Zagazig.
Zagazig in Egypt. 33 people listening.
Play children's entertainment. Oh, that's zig and zag, isn't it?
Massive twit. Oh, zig and zag.
Zig and zag? Remember zig and zag?
I do. Chuck it round and zagazig. We're quite... And Cairo as well. Big in Cairo.
Wow.
I could go on.
What they make of a black country bloke in Cairo.
I did think, looking down the list, I mean, we've got Luxembourg, Malaysia, Mexico. Wow. Mexico's a new one. Netherlands, Portugal, Sweden, South Africa. List goes on. Hi to you if you're listening in any of those countries. It'd be nice to hear from somebody.
Yeah, send us an email. Yeah. It'd be really good.
It'd be interesting to find out why you're listening to the Happy Garden podcast. Hopefully we're helping you wherever you are in the world. So let's get some international interaction. thehappygardenpodcast@gmail.com. That'd be nice, wouldn't it?
Would. It'd be brilliant.
Mm. Unless they're just expats. People on holiday.
Doesn't really matter, does it?
Doesn't matter.
They could put an accent on. Send that from Egypt.
They could. But thank you, wherever you're listening in the world, thank you very, very much for your support. We're going to be doing Molly and Darren's Christmas Cracker very, very shortly. And what are we doing for the Christmas Cracker? Oh, you're doing horticultural bath bombs.
Horticultural bath bombs.
Okay. We're also going to be talking about the Seed Card Company as well, which is a... Yes, fabulous company. Christmas cards, tags, all sorts of stationery that are inlaid with wildflower seeds and all sorts. So we're talking about that very shortly. But back to the questions now. Any question you need Darren to answer at any time, it's the Happy Garden Podcast, all one word, thehappygardenpodcast@gmail.com. Or, of course, you can pop something on the Facebook, which, again, is the Happy Garden Podcast. So, Darren, this is a question for you from Joanne. Hi, both. I listened to last week's podcast and I was fascinated by Darren's advice and guidance on no-dig gardening. I'm going to try it next year on my allotment. The whole concept makes so much sense, letting nature do its thing. So I'm wondering, Darren, about what to do over the winter. Normally, I would carpet the beds to put them to bed for the winter, but I'm now thinking that might harm the natural balance of the soil. Any advice would be great. I listened to last week's podcast with my granddaughter, who also loves listening to you. Merry Christmas, Joanne. Oh, what a lovely, lovely email. Thank you, Joanne.
Thank you, Joanne. That's wonderful. Well, I'm glad you're interested in No Dig because it is a really, really, really good system. And you're just creating a natural ecosystem. That's what we want. And instead of sort of carpeting the beds, mulch That is the biggest advice that I can give you, Joanne, is just to get some well-rotted compost, some manure, and just mulch the beds. Put 2 to 3 inches on there, at least 2 inches, if not 3 to 4 inches. I was doing this with students last week, Molly, at Winterbourne House and Gardens, where I teach. We're doing a trial on traditional cultivation systems versus no dig. So half of their plot, because they each get a little mini plot. And half of their plot is no dig, and the other half we have actually cultivated. Okay,
oh, how interesting.
Just to see what the difference is. Yeah. So what we've done is, to begin with, on the no dig side, we put cardboard down. Now it's cardboard, ordinary cardboard. You remove all the staples and all the plastics from them, and then you just pile compost. We used well rotted leaf mould on top of it, and do that, Joanne. Do as I said last week. Let nature take its course, because the worms will come up. Even if the cardboard's there, they will push through it, because cardboard doesn't take that long, actually, to break up. And the cardboard's there to stop the light for the weeds coming through. And when once it's done its job, you won't have any problems with weeds ever again. And just let nature do its job. And that's the way to put your beds and borders to bed, to sleep for the winter, is mulch. Mulch with at least 2 to 3 inches of well-rotted compost, leaf mulch, or well-rotted manure. And it's right now you need to be doing this, folks. Exactly the right time of year.
Darren, isn't it amazing how gardening has changed in the last, I don't know how many decades to put on it, 20 years to when I think, well, 30 years maybe, when I think about how my nan and granddad used to garden and sterilise, how everybody's nan and granddad used to garden and sterilise. And Chris Baines, environmentalist, is a very good friend of this show, and he had the first wildflower garden down at Chelsea, which they renamed the Wildfire Garden because they didn't understand his concept. We must get him on the pod actually one day. Isn't it amazing how we seem to have come, I shouldn't say full circle, because I don't know if we were ever there in the first place, but how we now trust, or are beginning to trust, nature rather than us trying to be in charge.
Well, it is a new thinking, but it's not new. So
yeah,
there have been people in our past that have advocated this way of gardening for a long, long, long time. Charles Dowding, again, yeah. Get yourself on YouTube, have a look at his videos, or on the internet. A fabulous guy, no dig, and he grows really, really successful crops, large amounts, just by not digging, you know. I mean, and he's been doing it for decades. Chris Baines, as you said, an ultimate advocate of these sorts of styles of working with wildlife and nature. Take a look at permaculture if you want the culture of working with nature, where these people actually have their lifestyle in nature. Permaculture is just a philosophy, it's a culture, it really is, working with nature. So Google that one, Molly, permaculture, and just look at that. Forest gardens, we've known about forest gardens for decades, but all of a sudden they seem to be, you know, something that we've discovered. And forest gardens, you don't need a forest, but what it just says is one plant is reliant on another, and we can create a culture, an ecosystem that provides us with nutrients, food, if we only just try, as well as have a balanced, biodiverse environment to live in that's healthy for plants and healthy for insects and animals as well. And that's what a forest garden is. That's the philosophy behind that. So I could go on for like half an hour about different cultures and things like that. But, you know, there's so much that's out there. Citizen science, where people are just trying things in their own gardens and in community gardens, and actually reporting the results. So there's so much going on that is so linked to climate change now. It's absolutely brilliant. And we are moving forwards with our thinking, and it's changing by the day. It literally is. The advice that I hand out, basically, is changing by the day. And you are quite right. 20 years ago when I was teaching, Molly, I would have said totally and utterly different things. Mm. Tidy your garden up, you know, tidy the leaves up, cut those herbaceous perennials back. But now the advice is leave the leaves down if you can do, leave these seed heads for the birds for the winter. So, you know, they're there as well to create habitat. So we're taking account of moths and butterflies and all sorts of things like that. So it's totally changing, and we're revolutionising the horticultural industry across the world, not just in this country. It's international.
And it's winner-winner avocado dinner, less work for us.
Definitely. Well, if you work with nature, nature will help you. It's as simple as that. And it's been there all the time. It's just that we've chosen as a species to revolt, and that's what it is, revolt against it and try to implement what we see is best practice. Again, I was talking to students about this. That word best practice doesn't necessarily mean the best thing to do. What it does mean is putting good practice in place that benefits everything, not just us.
It is the problem with humankind. It's quite deep for a lunchtime to be talking about this. The problem with humans is that we do try and control. And if we relinquish control and realise that, you know, there's a greater power, nature does actually know what it's doing, we're probably on a better path.
We have to. It's as simple as that. We have to work with nature. Otherwise, as a species, we are doomed.
We're all doomed.
We are. Totally and utterly. Ants will be running the planet.
Well, no, I saw a documentary a couple of years ago, and it said that if somebody pressed the red button, the first thing to rule Earth would be rats and cats and Buddleia.
You see? And Buddleia. Yes.
We will do Molly and Darren's Christmas Cracker next. Quick mention, Darren, again, something for next week, if you've still got your pen.
Yeah, got me pen.
Look at us all organised for next week. You have, is it the show director coming to visit you next week from Gardeners World Live?
I do, yes.
Brilliant.
Mr. Bob Sweet, yes.
The big boss.
He's coming to see me. The big boss.
Are you,
I think he's coming to ask me.
Wait. You know exactly what I'm looking for. Is it this one?
Rudge!
Oh, no, that's the supermarket aisle button. Oh, hang on, sorry.
Rudge, no.
That's the monster button.
Rudge!
That's the mouse button. What's that? That's a new one. An echo button. I haven't heard that before. Hang on, I'll use that. Is it Rudge the Judge? That's exciting. So much we haven't explored. Are you Rudge the Judge for next year?
Well, I think that's what he's coming to ask me, Molly.
Fabulous.
I think he's coming to ask if Rudge the Judge is going to return.
Well, you do go down well year on year.
I am the law.
So you do the you do the judging, but you're also an expert at Gardeners World Live, which is just lovely. You're on stage and you have the crowd, and people can come and see you and meet you, which is lovely as well. Yeah. Do you think you're going to be doing the same next year? Yeah, pants.
It's normally elderly ladies.
Tomatoes or pants? Which way does it normally swing?
It's normally pants.
It is pants. That's good. That's very good. But we'll do a slot on that. Are you actually going to chat to him? Will we hear that next week?
Yeah, I'm going to talk to him. Okay. I've asked him if he's okay to have a little chat with me. Yeah, but Lucy's there as well, so Lucy will be with us as well.
Who's Lucy?
So I've got the show director and the show manager.
Oh, right. Okay.
So Lucy's the show manager, and Bob is the horticultural director. Bob is the main man, and he's had a fascinating career. He's probably in his 80s, you know.
Bob Sweet, he's so nice. He's such a kind man, isn't he, Bob Sweet?
He's lovely, yeah. He gives everybody an opportunity, but he knows his stuff. He really does. You know, when I've done show gardens at BBC Gardeners World Live, he sort of comes round and he inspects. It's like having the sergeant major or the colonel come round and inspect. So stand by your beds.
Literally.
It's all that sort of stuff. He'll ask questions about, are you going to pick those over, or are you tidying that bit up, or whatever, you know. And you know when you've done something wrong with Uncle Bob.
I love it that you have to stand by your beds. Make sure you use that joke in front of him. He'll think you're really funny. Okay. Right, let's commence with Molly and Darren's Christmas Cracker.
Oh, ho, ho. It's time to pull one of Molly and Darren's Christmas Crackers.
Why? The Scottish Scottish accent. Made in Scotland from Garders. Anyway, what are we doing today then on Molly and Darren's Christmas Cracker?
Easy bath bombs.
Nice.
That's what we're going to do. Easy bath. You can get the kids involved with this, folks. Who needs Lush when you can make your own lavender-themed bath treats from home. So here's how to make them, folks. You'll need 2 cups of bicarbonate soda, 1 cup of cream tartar, 1 to 2 tablespoons of olive oil or plain oil, food colouring, essential oils, okay, lavender. You can use other herbs as well. Dried lavender, which you actually cut out of the garden, and water in a spray bottle, ice cube trays. The silicone ones are the best, folks, because you can fold them into intricate shapes. And here's how you make your really, really easy bath bombs. And like I said, the children will really love to be involved with this. Mix your bicarbonate soda, tartar, oil and essential oils and food colouring until you have a colour that you're happy with. 2 to 3 sprays of water. Wait until it starts to sizzle and the bicarbonate soda reacts with the water. Start mixing it and it will feel a little bit more solid, okay? A bit like wet sand. When you can indent with a spoon on the mixture and leave a nice shape behind it without it crumbling, then start to spoon it into those ice cube trays. Use a spray bottle, which is really important. Basically, keep spraying as you're popping them into those ice cube trays. Mix in some lavender, fill into your ice cube trays, again with a little bit more lavender, and then let dry for 1 to 2 days. The harder the better, folks. Remove gently when done. If you find they break apart, you didn't add enough water to begin with as you were making them. And then put them into a nice, pretty bag with a bow on and give them to your friends and relatives. And there you go. There's some horticultural bath bombs.
That is so nice. And I'm assuming you can do... My absolute favourite is rosemary. I'm assuming you can interchange your herbs.
Yeah, you can do rosemary, you can do orange, you can do lemons, you can do all sorts of things.
I love that, Darren. That's so nice. No parabens, no chemicals.
No, nothing.
No air miles.
Like I say, children can get involved and you can have a wonderful time making them, can't you?
That's lovely. I love it. Do you want to pull a cracker with me?
Go on, then.
Hang on, wait. I actually have one here. No, wait. I'm going to have to pull it because you're in the Black Country. I'm in Birmingham. I'm going to have to pull it for both of us.
Go on, then.
I've got it here. Do you think this is going to work? You ready? I'm going... Theoretically, you've got one end.
Go on, then.
Pathetic. Okay, let's see. Oh, I love that smell. Is that gunpowder I can smell? You've got to admit, a cracker smells good, Darren. Terrible. Right, let's have a look. Hat. I've got a yellow hat.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Cracker.
Put it on.
I actually will. It won't fit over my headphones. Oh, God, I've got a Sudoku puzzle. Nobody wants that. I also have a... Do you do Sudoku?
Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah.
I don't even understand the rules, let alone be able to do one. Here we are. Here's my Christmas cracker. Darren.
Yes.
What do you call a boomerang that doesn't come back?
I don't know. What do you call a boomerang that doesn't come back?
A stick. That's
almost as bad as what's brown and sticky.
Oh, what? Go on.
What's brown and sticky?
I don't know.
A stick.
A whole thread there where the answer is a stick. Stick jokes. Brilliant.
Oh, you wait till you hear my jokes.
Oh,
this week.
Hang on. Are we doing those? Da, 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 da. Where's your jokes? I haven't included your jokes on my sheet.
What?
Should we do those now?
Yeah.
Well, listen, before you do your jokes, if you think you can top the stick joke, a couple of other bits for Molly and Darren's Christmas cracker. Gifts for gardeners. How about an annual pass to a local arboretum? Now, that's a nice idea. How about a bare-rooted tree or a bare-rooted rose? Or an IOU ticket to Chelsea Flower Show for next year. We need to get our names on the list soon.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. or Hampton Court Palace or somewhere really special, and I owe you to a flower show next year. A forager's course, that would be a lovely gift. Of course, we had Fergus the Forager, didn't we, Darren, our new friend?
Yeah, he's great, Fergus is.
We love him. Well, he has forager's courses online for Christmas. A flower arranging lesson. You know, there's some really nice, thoughtful gifts for a gardening friend that you might have for Christmas 2023. Any ideas that you've got, by the way, we can include them in next week's Happy Garden Podcast. If you email us, it's thehappygardenpodcast@gmail.com. We might be able to include them.
If you'd like to get in touch with Molly Green and Darren Rudge at the Happy Garden Podcast, then all you have to do is follow them on social media. Just search for The Happy Garden Podcast. If you'd like to send them an email at The Happy Garden Podcast, you can email thehappygardenpodcast@gmail.com. Can we say Happy Garden Podcast just one more time? The Happy Garden Podcast.
I've got a business idea, actually, Molly. A day with Darren Rudge.
What would a day with Darren Rudge look like? No, go on. You started with breakfast. Yeah. Breakfast.
We could have a bit of breakfast.
Bit of breakfast.
Go on a little bit of a garden tour, but not in any woodland.
In a public...
public space.
Public space.
Where there's lots of people.
No woodland.
I might not come back.
Oh, that's really funny. Poor Mrs. Darren. Is she in?
She's upstairs. She's being ever so quiet, today.
She just sat on the bed waiting for you to finish. Oh, God, I love her. I love her so much. Do you know, when I was driving home from Waitrose, having almost gone through the Christmas tree wrapping machine, I did think, shall I ask Darren on the podcast what he's having to eat today? I thought, well, there's no point.
I don't know.
You don't know.
I just don't know. It's just provided.
Do you know what I've done for lunch today? And it's lovely. I've had it the last couple of days.
Got it.
Pumpkin. Had a pumpkin left over from Halloween. Roasted in the air fryer. Mm. And then literally just in water with a bit of... Oh, at the Good Food Show, which was last week at the NEC, I bought some truffle dust. Do you know who sold me the truffle dust?
No.
Smee from Peter Pan. No, really, it was the most bizarre thing. Smee from Peter Pan, who's touring the whole country, who's coming to the NEC very soon. He was one half of the truffle guys, and he was he was selling truffle powder. I took his number to interview him on the pantomime. Ever so random. Anyway, the truffle dust's really nice. So I roasted the pumpkins, put them in hot water, added some truffle dust, pureed, and then added some soup mix. Some soup mix, which is the pearl barley and the lentils and everything. Delicious. Oh, so that's me today.
And filling as well.
And filling.
And warm.
Warming.
I remember once when I was at the NEC, I walked up to the Hairy Bikers and I went, "Hello, guys, I really love you." And they just stared at me. I thought I was some sort of stalker.
Well, I was just about to say they're there this week, this year, but they're not, are they? Isn't one dead?
No.
Is one dead? Are they both alive? I don't know. Isn't one dead?
No, there's one been very, very ill.
Let me Google that.
But he didn't die.
No, one's dead. Hairy Biker.
Are you sure?
I don't know. Let me Google it. Oh, hairy boomers. That's something totally different has just come up.
Yeah, just watch what you're typing in.
Here you are, Hairy Bikers. hang on. Oh no, they both seem to be alive. Who am I thinking of then?
They are alive. Someone. No, you were thinking one of them was really, really ill, and it was touch and go.
Hang on, I can't laugh over that.
There's another idea, touch and go.
50 quid. Darren Rudge.
That's it.
Christmas special.
I could have levels, couldn't I, do you think? 50 quid, touch and go. Oh, it's quite super.
Ha 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 ha! Turns out they are both alive. I don't know what I'm looking for. They're fine. So, yeah.
Oh, my chest hurts.
They were all at the NEC this week. Peter Andre. He was doing some cooking. He also turned on the lights down in Redditch as well at the Kingfisher shopping centre. Have you had your lights turned on? Who did Block Switch?
Is that another one of my levels?
I'm surprised you weren't asked.
Turn your lights on.
Why weren't you asked to do Block Switch?
No. I don't think we've got lights in Block Switch.
You haven't got any lights.
We've got candles.
Oh, Darren, this has just gone ridiculous. Right, where are we? We've got candles.
The Happy Garden Podcast.
Well, Darren, after all of that tomfoolery, let's get back to the Seed Card Company, which we mentioned a little bit earlier on. Now, this is a lovely Molly and Darren's Christmas cracker idea as well. The Seed Card Company is basically a very, very ethical company where you can get tags and cards. You're not going to look at them and then dump them. You're going to look at them and then plant them. Let me introduce you to the co-founder, Kay, who I spoke to a little bit earlier on. I asked her just how the company started.
So Seed Card Company has been going for 3 years now, and it was actually a lockdown baby. We actually had my husband and I, there's three of us that own the company, myself, Jit, my husband, and Lewis, who's also known as my print husband, and a very, very good friend of ours. We were working with Seed Card, with Intricate Creations, our other company, for, God, it's been 10 years now since we've worked with Seed Card, working with high street brands, just offer a sustainable option. Then lockdown happened, the hospitality industry was quite non-existent, to be honest. And we were sitting sat twiddling our thumbs with a 15-month-old. And I said to Jet, let's do something. And a wise person said to us, always stick to what you know. If you're going to do something, always stick to you know. So we know print, we know design. We've been doing paper engineering for now 13 and a half years. So we said, well, let's do Seed Card because it's such an amazing product, and we see card and paper and new card and paper all the time, and when we first saw it, we were like, this is a gimmick, isn't it? You know, this is just one of those things. But we tried and tested it, and it worked, and we were just completely flabbergasted ourselves that we could grow something from a piece of paper, and it became our lockdown baby. So we set up the company during 2019, and 2020 was when we were really knuckling down, and then launched it and haven't looked back since. It's just been amazing. It's such a positive company in all sense of the word. It gives us such an uplift. So yeah, that's been the start of the company. It was great timing, but it wasn't a forced timing. And then because of that, we've been able to develop the company, you know, quite nicely and quite vigorously, so much so that we don't only offer just wildflower seed cod, but we offer basil, parsley, carrots, lettuce. So you can carrots and lettuce as well. So we've got a whole garden erupting, a whole allotment erupting effectively. We're definitely championing the sustainability and the conscious and making sure that we're not greenwashing. This is a truly sustainable product, an eco-friendly, sustainable product using vegan-friendly ink to make sure that we're providing a fully eco-alternative to a greeting cards offering, but with design being design-led at the same time as well.
And you plant a tree for each sale?
We do indeed. So for each consumer sale that we have, each trade sale we have, and even our corporate offering as well, we plant trees, and we've got quite a rainforest developing. I can't tell you the figure at this moment because I know it's changing, ever changing, especially with Christmas being one of our popular times of year. But yes, we do. We plant a tree for every order that we have, and that's just our way of, like I said, that this company has given so much to us. If equally we have to give back too, and that's very important to us.
So your products, all the products that are on your website, the tags, the, obviously the cards, the greeting cards, the Christmas cards, the stationery, everything, you literally lay it on the soil? How does it work? You have to plant it. I guess instructions come with it.
Yeah, so on the back of our cards, especially our greeting cards, there are instructions on planting. And it's really straightforward. I'm not the best gardener, and I am, and for one thing, the seed card is one thing that I can grow, and that's how easy it is. So effectively, you I'm very honest. And effectively, you soak the card, don't let it dry out. And what's remarkable to see, and what my son absolutely loves to see as well, is you can see the seeds swelling where they've absorbed the water. 24, 48 hours, you'll start seeing them swell to 3-4 times the size. And then after a few more days after that, you'll see that a little sprout come out. As soon as you see that sprout come out, I guarantee there'll be a root underneath as well. Transfer it to the soil, and then they'll just start prospering. They grow all year round. Obviously, seeds do much better in spring, but we've germinated at Christmas, you know, in the summer. All year round, they can germinate.
You mentioned your son there, and I'm just thinking, Kay, what a gorgeous, a gift in essence, a card and a gift for a little one to receive.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, and it doesn't just go in the bin. It's something to learn from. It's something to experience. Lovely concept.
Well, all of our offcuts and our trimmings, we're a zero waste company. So all of our offcuts and trimmings and misprints that we have, we actually don't throw away. We actually keep it, and we donate it to local schools. We've actually got an initiative that we're driving for in 2024 where we can make it a school program out of germination, because we've all been there. I know that children grow cress at school. I mean, I've had the potato heads come home. We've actually given a lot of this to the nurseries that our son was at, and also now at the school that he's at, to as part of their curriculum, because they do a lot of growing in part of their syllabus. So we do a lot of donations. It's one of the projects that we're doing next year to offset all of our waste in a productive and an educational manner.
I love the ethos of your company. I love it, Kay. What are the website details for everyone to have a look at everything that you're stocking?
So www.theseedcardcompany.com. On there, you'll see all of our greeting cards. Christmas cards are there. We run up all the way through to Christmas. We've got gift tags and wrapping paper as well. Wrapping paper is post-consumer waste. So all of our products are non-seed cards, and that's the packaging to the items that we send out in are all post-consumer waste. And no new trees are harmed, and that's very important to us. No new trees are harmed with regards to the products that we use. There's no FSC, so no new trees are planted and then chopped down. This is all post-consumer, post-industrial waste, so no new trees are harmed products in our offerings.
I love it. All that's left for me to say is a very Merry Christmas to you and everyone your end.
Likewise to everybody as well. Merry Christmas, and I hope 2024 brings so much prosperity to everybody.
Isn't that lovely, Darren? Lovely,
oh,
lovely ethos.
Wonderful.
Yeah, lovely company.
Yeah, and it's fabulous, isn't it? And to get the children involved as well, it's absolutely brilliant. And I think it's a fascinating idea where you go and plant a card and then something grows. Wonderful, magical. And what a brilliant time of year to do this. I think it's brilliant.
It is. It's lovely. Brilliant. It is lovely. Yeah. They have things for all year round, but yeah, beautiful for Christmas cards that won't go in the bin. I don't know about you, Darren, but personally, I don't, and I haven't for years, sent Christmas cards. Not because I'm a tightwad, but, you know, it's because of environmental issues in that, well, hey, it's the postage. Oh, my goodness, even a second-class stamp is so expensive. I know the card is going to be looked at and put in the bin. Even if it's recycled, it still has to be recycled. I don't know. Do you bother with Christmas cards anymore?
No, we don't, no. We haven't for years, to be honest. I mean, we don't send cards. And some people in the family take that really badly.
Mm.
But we don't. We don't send cards because of ethics, literally, because they're opened, they're read, and
chucked.
It's only people like my mother that used to keep a scrapbook with all the cards. She's got hundreds of them. But, you know, people don't do that anymore, do they? So they're done online or something like that. But
yeah,
it's a shame, really. But I think this is one wonderful way to get around that and actually, you know, have wildflowers, lettuce and things like that growing. Fabulous, fantastic idea.
It's brilliant. We love them. Before we get on to your jokes, Darren, do you want one from me?
Go on, then.
It won't be as good as yours.
Okay.
I tell you where I've stolen this. You know Luminate, which is right round the country, the sort of light trail. They're at the Birmingham Botanical Gardens, actually. They started last week.
Yeah.
I went to Coombe Abbey, just near Coventry, this week. I have stolen this because there is a talking tree who tells this joke. So I've lifted this. Darren, what do you call it when a larch, fir and pine get together?
I don't know. What do you call it when a larch, fir and pine get together,
well,
Molly
it's
Green?
Clearly a conference.
I'm going to tell that one to the students.
You can have
That's
that.
A good one, that
you
one
You can
is.
Have that. Let's see if you can do any better
now
then.
Now in the Happy Garden.
Okay. It's about time for some Alan Titters. Brace yourself for your gardening jokes of the week from Darren Rudge.
Right, Lesby Avenue. Come on, let the dog see the rabbit.
Seven again.
Oh, seven.
Oh, yes.
Seven.
Why do potatoes make good detectives, Molly Green?
Potatoes, detectives, something about spy. I don't know.
Because they keep their eyes peeled.
Oh, I'd have known. Good one.
What did the grape say when he got trodden on?
Oh, I could crush a grape. I'm not sure.
Nothing. It just gave a little whine.
Oh, that's good.
Whoa.
Pleased with you so far.
Number three.
Yeah.
What do you get if you cross a four-leaf clover with poison ivy?
Don't know.
A rash of good luck.
Oh, yeah. 1 second. Thinking time. Yeah, good.
OK.
Yeah.
How do you stop moles digging in your garden?
I'd love to know.
I'd their spades.
Good. Good, Darren, good.
Right, Molly Green.
Yes.
Two slugs are slithering along the pavement. They go round the corner and get stuck behind two snails. Oh, no, says one. Bloody caravans.
Oh, Darren! Darren, that's really good. You can have... Wait, you can have two of them for that. Hang on. Good.
Thank you.
Yep.
If you like that one...
I do.
My neighbour this morning asked me if he could borrow my lawnmower.
Caravans.
I said... Yes, she'll be home later.
Oh, sexist. Wait, no, hang on, Darren. Very displeased with you on that one. Sexist.
All right, then. The last one, then.
Yep.
How do you hide an elephant in a cherry tree?
Elephant, cherry tree, I don't know.
Paint his toenails red.
Hang on. I'm still thinking. In a cherry tree. You just envisage that. Still thinking.
It tickled me anyway. Elephant in the chair, just paint his toenails.
Don't get it. 6 good, 7 bad.
That's the funniest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Number 7. Okay, so we've just got one last question for you, Darren.
Excellent.
It's from Marcus in Walthamstow. Oh, yes, it's all flooding back now because we were singing East 17 last week.
All right.
Everything's...
It's going to be all right.
Yeah. Sorry, Marcus. So, I'm putting my tenders in the greenhouse now. Every year, things go mouldy. As careful as I am, the mould seems to take over quickly.
I'd get to the doctor's, Marcus.
Sorry, Marcus.
Sorry, Marcus. I'm ever so sorry.
It is ventilated, but any tips... Hang on, I'm starting again. It is ventilated, but any tips for getting my plants through the winter without some rotting off? I'm now to your podcast. What's that? I'm new to your podcast, courtesy of my neighbour, Jeff.
He won't listen to us ever again.
Good old Jeff. I'm originally from Birmingham, so I feel at home listening to your accents. I look forward to your response, and that is from Marcus. So Marcus's mouldy greenhouse.
Marcus, at this time of year, you do not want to be watering at all in your glasshouse, because that is just going to encourage mould. And a good tidy up, a good tidy round, okay. A little bit of disinfectant here and there as well, especially in October, November, through November, just to tidy things up. Obviously, you might have little insects like ladybirds coming in that want to just hibernate, so just be careful of those. But do not water, because that is going to encourage what's called botrytis. It's spelled botrytis, by the way. But botrytis is grey mould, and that will just spread through your plants like nobody's business. So water very, very sparingly, and do ventilate if you can do. I know you said it was ventilated, but today where I am at the moment, it's quite mild. It's not mild. It's about 7 or 8 degrees, but the sun's out, and on a day like today, you want to open that glasshouse door and open the vents and basically just air things through. And the more that you can do that, the less that mould can take hold. But stop watering. Don't water at all. Your plants don't need it, okay? And literally do the rule of thumb test, as I call it. Put your thumb on the compost, and if the compost's damp enough, it's damp enough. And it's as simple as that, Marcus. And I'm sorry for the laughter earlier, but... absolutely. My mind just goes into an alternate universe and I can't help it.
No,
okay.
Fine.
But I hope that helps. I really do.
Darren, that's a brill. I think apart from jobs, which we will finish the Happy Garden podcast with, we're about done for episode 13.
Yeah. Good. Episode 13. Unlucky for some.
Oh, but lucky for us.
Yeah.
I'm absolutely sure.
It's been great.
It has been great. So jobs for the week ahead. We do have some -3s, -4s on the card for this week, UK-wide, but wouldn't expect any different. We're into December now. So let's have a look at some of the bits and bobs you can be getting on with.
Oh, I say, you can tell it's getting close to Christmas. Darren's got his festive music out for the Happy Garden podcast jobs of the week. Go on, Darren. Tell us what to do.
Yeah, go on, Darren.
Well... check young trees to ensure they're not developing forking habits. Okay.
Anyone would think we were five?
Because you don't want your trees to fork, folks.
Aaron.
So basically, if they are forking, then you need to prune one of the branches out. Otherwise, they develop a split and he can kill your trees. Oh, God. Okay. Prune lower branches off garden trees to let light in as well. That's called crown lifting, folks, so that plants that do stay for the winter months will be have more light, and delay tree planting if the ground is very, very... wet. And finally, roses can be pruned at any time now. And of course, it's a good time to plant things like shrubs and roses as well.
That's lovely. Thank you, our Dazzler. Do you know, as I said, I've just been to Kenilworth and I've come home from the greengrocers with three pots of hyacinths, £2.99 for three bulbs. I know, I'm quite pleased with that.
And what are you going to do with those?
Well, I'm going to give one to my friend, two for the kitchen, and I'm going to see my mum and dad tomorrow. And they are by a nursery who sell the big blousy cyclamen, so I'm going to go and get those for the kitchen windowsill tomorrow as well.
Lovely.
I'm looking forward to. Well, am I going to see you before Christmas?
Of course you are. I'm going to pop up somewhere.
Good.
Bring you a Christmas prezzy.
I've got you yours as well.
Oh.
Yay.
Great.
I'm sorry, what? Was that you're excited?
Yeah, I'm excited.
Noise. Oh, fabulous. Fabulous. Darren, I've really, really enjoyed today's Happy Garden podcast. Have we done everything?
We've done everything,
haven't we?
Absolutely fabulous. Cool. And next week, of course, we've got loads more to come, haven't we?
Looking after your Christmas trees, how to choose and look after poinsettias. What else was on your list?
Well, I'm interviewing Mr. Bob Sweet.
Sweet about Gardeners
BBC
Worldwide.
Gardeners Worldwide. Yeah.
All sorts packed in.
So, yeah.
And, of course, as I said throughout the podcast, and we'll just reiterate before we say goodbye, Darren is here, the Laughing Gardener, your expert here on the Happy Garden Podcast for any of your needs, any of your queries, any of your questions. It's the Happy Garden Podcast, which is all one word, thehappygardenpodcast@gmail.com for any questions you've got for our Dazzler. Or, of course, you can head to our Facebook page, which is the Happy Garden Podcast. We are on Instagram as well. Guess what we are on Instagram, Darren?
What are we on Instagram, Molly?
It's the Happy Garden Podcast. Surprisingly.
I would never have guessed that.
I know. What are you doing now? What time are we now? Getting on for 3 o'clock?
Yeah. I've got a talk to do tonight.
Oh, are you tonight? Where are you going?
In Worcestershire.
Where?
In Worcester.
Where?
I'm in Worcester.
Where? In Worcester?
Yeah.
Oh, Worcester.
I don't know, actually. It's some far-flung village.
Are you doing a village hall?
Yes, I'm doing a village hall.
It'll all be decked out with festivities. What's your talk tonight?
My talk tonight is designing a show garden. How about that?
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. So I'm going to show them a couple of my show gardens and how I actually put them together and what's involved.
Well, that ties in nicely with a little piece that you're going to do next week about having a go at beautiful borders. Whether or not you have a background in horticulture or, you know, it's just something new you want to try. I guess that ties in quite nicely with that.
Yeah, not to be frightened by it. That's the main thing. That's the main point.
Have a go.
Just get out there and have a go.
Yeah.
Definitely, yeah.
See if you can interview some people tonight as well.
I will do.
Have you got your muff?
I've got my muff.
Have you bought a muff?
Yeah, I've got a muff.
Because you had my muff. You had my muff for a while.
I've got a spare muff, so I've got a washing away.
Okay. All right, I'll be expecting great things next week then on the Happy Garden Podcast. Sorry. Is that you?
Yes.
Well, listen, thank you for all of your advice today. Thank you as well, dear listener, if you've got in touch with any questions. As always, you can get in touch, thehappygardenpodcast@gmail.com, wherever you are in the entire world. I am literally amazed at the people all over the world listening. It's not just Brum and the Black Country. It's everywhere, which just amazes me. So wherever you're listening, a massive thank you.
Yeah, thank you, folks. Yes, folks, thank you, folks. Yes, thank you, folks. Happy gardening wherever you are in the world.
And we look forward to seeing you on the Happy Garden Podcast next Friday. We'll download at noon. Have a lovely week.
Bye.
You've been listening to the Happy Garden Podcast with Molly Green and Darren Rudge. If you'd like to send them an email, get in touch with the Happy Garden Podcast by emailing thehappygardenpodcast@gmail.com. Follow them on social media. Just search for the Happy Garden Podcast. Can we say Happy Garden Podcast just one more time? The Happy Garden Podcast.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns. Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.